I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Not such a good game three. The series might be over for the Tampa Bay Lightning against the Florida Panthers. We'll get into that in just a minute. We'll save the bad news for last. But first, it was the NFL draft that commenced on Thursday from Detroit, Michigan. And boy, oh boy, those people were fired up there. Kind of an exciting time for the Lions, for the Detroit fans in general. But I'll tell you, quarterbacks was the story of the day. There were the first three picks, of course, were all quarterbacks. There were, I want to say, six in the first 12, five in the first 10 picks were quarterbacks. And we'll get into this in just a minute. Your boy, Steve, Michael Penix Jr. from Dade City, Florida, he goes to what? The Atlanta Falcons?
With the eighth pick.
Holy cow.
The fourth quarterback taken.
Incredible. And no, they did not tell Kirk Cousins beforehand. I can't imagine what that conversation was like when he finally got around to letting them know that they had done that. And they've guaranteed $100 million.
I was going to say, I'm sure the conversation was, Kirk, don't worry, your money's guaranteed.
Yeah, well, and then the harder conversation might have been with Arthur Blank. Like, hey, I know we just took $100 million out of your pocket and it's all guaranteed, but we got this other guy now. So you would have had to sell Arthur on that, but we'll talk more about that. I think I know what it is, and it's been done before, obviously. I actually think it's a good idea. But first and foremost, the Buccaneers did what almost everybody expected them to do. You know what's funny? You have this, this long – I mean, it's an industry, right? It's a year-round industry, all these draft nicks and draft websites. And, you know, Mel Kiper, of course, has made a living out of this. And so you go through all of this. There was one name that I kept seeing over and over, and I'm talking like months ago, over and over again, when they would do these mock drafts, you know, mock 1.0. Now I think we're at mock like 101.0. But each time I kept seeing the same name, you know, and it was Duke center Graham Barton. And I'm like, Graham Barton, okay, well, why? I mean, positionally, I get it. But, like, where's this guy really expected to go? And, you know, the more you studied it and then you see him linked more times. Well, sure enough, when it got to be the 26th pick overall, the Bucks take Duke center Graham Barton. Now, we say he's a center, but in actuality, he played tackle at Duke. With the exception of his freshman year, there was a bunch of injuries. And they kind of threw him in there at center for about the last seven games. And he actually played so well that, you know, kind of sent him on a nice arc for his career at Duke. But he had not played center since his freshman season. It's just when you get to the next level, you look at the physical skills and whatnot. And they really feel like also their biggest weakness. Because every time these drafts roll around, they go, oh, we're going to stick to our board. We're sticking to our board. We're going to take the best available player. I mean, if one guy's rated higher than the other guy, regardless of position, that's what we're going to. And damned, I'll be damned if 99.9% of the time they mean and they do draft the best player at the biggest need that they have. And it's just like, no, he's the next guy on our board. Well, listen, they've never replaced Ryan Jensen adequately or Ali Marpet. I mean, those two guys were the middle of that offensive line when they made their Super Bowl run with Tom Brady. And, of course, Jensen, you know, the next or 2 years ago, tore his knee up in the first or second training camp practice, non-padded. Logan Hall fell across him. And you thought, well, you know, he came back actually that year and played the playoff game and was horrible. He wasn't very good at all. The tape is bad. Go watch it. And then last year, it looked like he was going to make a go of it, and he was in training camp for a while. But it just wasn't to be. That knee just wasn't going to hold up. So he retired, right? And that left a huge hole for them. And then, you know, Robert Hainsey the last couple of years has tried to fill in, but he's not the most physical guy or has the best feet or anything like that. But I actually think that, you know, this is smart because you need to make the quarterback feel comfortable. You know, the last couple of years, they haven't been able to run the ball principally because they get too much penetration right in the middle of their offensive line. Their interior line play has been bad, right? I mean, they moved Gedeky out of there. He was part of the problem. They moved him to tackle. Now he's a serviceable left tackle. Tristan Wirfs is an all-pro left tackle. They could use another guard, no question about it. But this is, you know, this is an important position to keep pass rushers off the quarterback's feet, to create some push and move into the second level. And by all accounts, like Barton is like, first of all, we got to talk to him, very soft-spoken guy, you know, but he's also extremely athletic. You know, he played lacrosse. He's, you know, for a guy that's, you know, as big as he is, it's pretty impressive. He's like 6'5", 313. So, not sexy, Steve, but if you think about it, this is what they needed to do, and this is what everybody had them doing.
They had two big needs that you wanted to address in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
It was either interior offensive line,
yep,
or edge rusher.
Edge rusher. Mm-hmm.
Those were the two needs you had. So
yep.
When your pick comes up at 26, who's the top guy on our board of one of those two positions, and that's who you're taking.
There you go. Jared Verse had already gone, and mm-hmm. The kid from Penn State,
Chop Robinson,
was gone. Chop Robinson. So there was a run on them. There was a couple corners like they could have taken a corner. Or in one of those last corners that
if
went
someone
right
was rated significantly higher, yes. But I don't think that was your two biggest positions of need.
No, definitely wasn't a position of need. I had a feeling that there might have been maybe one other player that just by pure ratings they would have had higher on the board. But, you know, again, they drafted the guy who was the best player at their biggest need position. And I think he's a good player. I mean, you know. Well, he's athletic as hell. He ran the 40 in 4.95 for the size that he is. And just talking to him, he's very, you know, kind of almost like Tristan Wirfs in the way, you know, sort of soft-spoken and thoughtful and all those things. So, look, I don't know. It's just interesting to me that, you know, you go through this whole process and you hear about smoke screens and you hear about – all you got to do sometimes is just look at it analytically like they do and say – you know, where were we not very good last year? You know, like where were we having trouble? Well, it was right up the middle. You couldn't move people. You couldn't get, you know, rushing yards inside. Baker had somebody at his feet all the time. That's why he scrambled around so much. So, you know, a good center, you don't really know what you have until you don't have one, you know. And the Bucks have been struggling with that. I think Hainsey is a smart player. I think he works really hard. I think he's incredibly smart. But he's not the biggest guy, and he sometimes gets pushed around from a strength standpoint, and that's never good. So, you know what? Let's see what he can do. And I know, Graham, we talked to him a little bit on a Zoom call. He's excited to be down here. Didn't have a ton of interaction with the Bucks, but the opportunity is here for him to play and play right away. And I know Jason Light said he got a call from Baker Mayfield after the selection. Those quarterbacks love it when you take some blockers. They love it when you take some offensive linemen. And Jason Light has done an awful lot of that throughout his career here in Tampa. So not sexy, but necessary. And I think by at least all outward perceptions, assuming he's healthy and that sort of thing, because I know that Barton was unable to do a lot of the stuff in the offseason because he had something going on. That's supposedly healed up now. But yeah, I get this pick. I understand this pick. And it's just ironic that we all probably could have made it, you know, many, many weeks ago. But that's how it turned out sometimes. You know, you do your boards and you feel like these guys are gonna be available, and they were, and you got his pick of the litter. So that's what they did on day one. Now day two, who knows, man. You know, Barton's going to come in at 2 o'clock and talk to us, and we'll find out more about what makes him tick and all of that, and probably do a profile in Sunday's Tampa Bay Times on him. But they got a couple picks tomorrow, or 3 picks tomorrow, because they have an extra third today, as you hear this podcast, I should say. So the extra third round pick plus their second. So they can bounce around. They can move up in, you know, in the second or down or whatever they want to do. I just think they'll just keep adding, you know, more and more good players where they need them, you know, and they need a lot. They do need another receiver. They do need, or at least, you know, could use an edge rusher in the worst way. There's a lot of positions that they could help. So we'll see if they're able to follow up on that. But I think, you know, I think this is a good pick. I think they need this. If he's got some nasty to him, if he's got, you know, if he can move the pile a little bit, if he can create some creases for Rashad White, this is smart. You build a good football team up the middle, Steve. I think whether it's offense or defense, I think that's how you have to start.
No question about it. And that's why, you know, we discussed last night and the other podcast too, that the reason Jason Light's draft classes have been a lot better the last 5-6 years compared to his starts is because he started drafting the line of scrimmage, and he's done so very well.
Yeah.
And found a lot of good players in those picks.
He has.
And, you know, the hope is that Graham Barton's going to fill that role.
Yep.
That, you know, when you had signed Ryan Jensen and thought he might still be playing at this point, but obviously injuries
might have been,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so now you had to go and Ali Marpet retiring. I mean, you know, those were holes you didn't expect to have to fill as early as you do. So those are the adjustments
they never really
you make
did,
as
you know. Yeah, they just never really did. I mean, they tried, you know, Matt Filer and, you know, different guys, Aaron Stinney and, you know, so forth, but they just haven't found that kind of nastiness, that to the echo of the whistle type guys that help you move the ball and protect your quarterback. So this guy is really mild mannered, so he must have like kind of a Jekyll and Hyde personality if that's who he is. But I think it was a solid pick. I think you got a player that you have a need for right away. If it's competition, it's going to make them all better. If nothing else, you just established a hell of a lot more depth, and that's what, you know, that's what they should be doing. We'll see where they go next. They need a third receiver. They need perhaps another nickel corner. They could use an edge rusher still in the worst way. So they have a lot of needs and still some picks, and so we'll follow that today. Meanwhile,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What the hell happened, man? I left that game when I was watching it on TV to go to the draft, and they were losing. Let me see if I get this right. I think they were losing 2-1, but
they were down 1-0.
They're down 1-0.
Then the Lightning went up 2-1.
Oh, that was it. The Lightning went up 2-1. That was it. But they had a power play goal taken away, didn't they?
That was at the end of the first. Anthony Cirelli's.
That would have tied it up, right? Power
play goal. Yeah. Brendan Hagel tripped at the blue line, essentially.
That was unfortunate.
And went offsides. You know, just it happens. He was offside.
Yeah.
So they started the second on that same power play for 30 some seconds, whatever.
They scored,
that expired.
Right?
Expired, but.
Oh, okay.
Stamkos got the goal short, you know, like 5 seconds after the power play.
In their
play
zone,
like
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that. That made it 1-1, and then just over 2 minutes later, Tyler Mott gets a goal.
Yeah.
It's 2-1, and the arena was buzzing, and the team was buzzing.
I mean, that's it. You got everything you want. You got the lead. Mm-hmm. You got the home
ice. For the first time in the series, they got the lead.
Yeah. So you felt like, okay, they're going to do something here.
Yep. And they had it for all of 7 minutes.
That was it.
Yep. And look, the first 3 goals on Thursday night,
yeah,
Lightning had the puck in their own end. And couldn't clear the zone with it.
Wow.
They kept turning it off. The first three goals were all because of the overtime goal on Tuesday night. It was because they couldn't clear the zone.
So who are the defensemen, or is it a combination of people that can't get it out?
It's a combination. Anthony Duclair turned the second one over. Trying to remember who the others were. But look, clearing the zone isn't just the defenseman doing it.
No, that's right. It's very typical. So yeah. Typically, it's Pointer, those guys, you know.
Yeah, one of the things that Florida is doing very well in this series is when they get the puck in their own zone, they'll just chip it out.
Yeah.
Chip it out and go after it. If we ice it, yep. Okay. But, you know, the Lightning keep trying to pass it out. Yeah, they keep trying to pass it out on a team that forechecks very well. There's a reason Florida had the best defense in hockey this year.
No, they're good, man.
They're very good.
Absolutely.
And the Lightning, you know, it's the first three goals they gave up were all those turnovers in their own end.
Mm.
And you just can't give a team like Florida those opportunities. No. And Tampa Bay also went 0-for-4 on the power play and only had four shots on those power plays, while Florida had three shorthanded shots on those power plays.
No. Yeah, it's disappointing because, you would have liked to see him get back in the series, make it more interesting. Now you just want to see him go home. I mean, now it's like, if you're not going to go all the way, man, you know, because if they win, somebody's got to get in the car and drive to Sunrise, you know.
Well, 205 times in NHL history, a series has been 3-0.
And how many times have somebody come back?
Four times.
Is it four? Wow. Yep. That's more than I would have anticipated.
More than the other sports.
No kidding. Wow.
NBA, nobody's ever come back from 3-0 down.
Yeah.
To win a series. They've won game four. They've, you know, but never to win the series. In hockey, it's been four times.
Oh, so that's 2%
of the time.
So you're saying we have a chance.
Yep. The Lightning has never been down 3-0 in a series that started on the road either.
Interesting.
So this will be the first time.
Well,
and in their history, they're 8-9 in home game fours.
Yeah. They poured a lot into this. I mean, it's unfortunate they didn't get the result because I know they had a lot of thoughts and changes and things that they were going to try to implement. But, you know, Florida's just a really good team. I mean, that's, you know, at some point you got to recognize that and tip your cap to them because they were good last year too. They were in the Stanley Cup final.
I'll tell you who was really good tonight was Steven Stamkos.
Was he?
Okay. And actually, for all three of these games, he was fantastic. He was all over the ice.
Well, he had a goal, right?
Mm-hmm. He's got a goal in all three games.
Mm-hmm.
He was, after two periods, he was leading the Lightning in ice time. He had almost 18 minutes of ice time through the first two periods.
Wow.
Even more than, about 2 minutes more than Victor Hedman at that point. But Stamkos has been fantastic this playoff series.
Yeah.
Well, they've just struggled to get the puck out of their own end, which then you start chasing the game.
Yeah.
And like I said, they finally got a lead, but only held it for 7 minutes. So they haven't been able to sustain
get over the hump. The lead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that when we talked to Hedman the other day, he said he was going to get more shots on goal, on net.
He was shooting, and he was hitting the net with it.
He did. He was accurate, yeah. So that was interesting to see come to play.
And the Lightning were hitting everything inside. They had 86 hits.
Jeez. So physicality
had 11 of them. I thought a little bit early they were focused so much on hitting it almost took them out of their game.
Okay. That's fair.
Like everybody who got rid of a puck, they were going to try to hit instead of getting in the right position and stuff. It wasn't egregious and it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing dirty about the hits or anything, but it was almost like we're trying to drag ourselves into this game physically. You know, spark something, this, and it just, sometimes it felt like they almost took themselves out of position with it a little bit. Like it was
maybe
they went a little too far with it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get off to a great start, but as I said, they found themselves, particularly in the second period.
Yeah.
And because once they got that one goal lead, they were buzzing.
Yeah.
They were flying up and down the ice. And they hit a post. It could have been another goal.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, I mean, essentially another one goal game. You know, the empty netter made it two, but essentially
they've lost another.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You've lost three. You're on the wrong side of it, but.
Yeah. 3-1 goal games, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see if they want to salvage this. I don't think there's much to salvage. I would imagine that many of them have probably got, you know, their golf clubs out, but you do have to win four. You'll hear a lot of that cliche stuff. Like, well, the last time I checked, you know, you got to win four. Well, okay. Yeah.
Well, now we have a must-win game.
Absolutely. Elimination game, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like.
You know, but the biggest thing is, and these are all cliches,
mm-hmm.
but the Lightning can't win four games on Saturday. Like, you're just trying to win one. Like, win a period. No, win the next period.
You're trying to win one today. I mean,
well, yeah, that's what I mean. Saturday, yeah. it's...
You know, definitely can't look ahead.
It's like in baseball, you can't hit the 10-run home run to take a lead. Like,
no, you can't go for four. I mean, like, yeah.
And they can't even worry about game five, six, and seven. It's just win a game. Just win a game.
That's true. I mean, put it that way, yeah.
And then win the next game. And this team's more than capable of winning a game and then the next game. I mean, that's – but it's going to take a better effort than they've had the first three.
Yep.
As Brendan Hagel said, good is not good enough.
Good is not good enough. And if they do get the lead again, they need to step on them. You know, they mm-hmm. need to find a way to expand it or shut people out. And they just haven't been able to do that, you know. But, and it's unfortunate because I really thought, I felt this way, that they probably would play better. And I think in spots they certainly did. And if they were to win that game, I think it would have made turn the series all around. I really do. I think they would have had some momentum, possibly win the next game. So it's unfortunate, but this is the position they're in, and there's not much else they can do about it. So the Rays begin a series, right, coming up.
The White Sox. Tonight they're in Chicago.
With the god-awful White Sox. If you don't win, make some hay up there, you're one of the few, the not-so-proud. That's going to be important. And then the draft continues, man. We won't be mm-hmm. talking about it probably until Monday night. But they got two rounds tomorrow.
Sunday night.
Yeah, but for Monday's podcast. Two rounds tomorrow. And then it's like...
four rounds on Saturday.
Four rounds on Saturday, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so...
But what about the Penix pick? We teased it, but, you know...
Penix yeah. Okay, so here's my thoughts about that. I really was... caught off guard by it. I didn't see that. I don't think many people, if anyone, really suggested it, right? Listen, on its surface, it seems financially dumb, right? A little bit, because again, you've got to tell Arthur Blank why, you know, there's $100 million in guarantee, and then bring in a you know, first round quarterback. But the more I thought about it and things simmered down over there, I thought, this is really smart. Like, I like Kirk Cousins. I have for a long time. He was really good in Minnesota, and I think he'll do okay. It depends on the Achilles. He's a good leader and all of that, but I don't know how long he can play, and I don't know that I would have guaranteed $100 million. But that's neither here nor there, because quarterbacks can and do get hurt, and whether it's 2 years or 3 years or whatever, you're going to be in this position, only maybe not picking high enough to take advantage of what was an historic draft class, you know, with six quarterbacks going in the first 12 picks. So I can appreciate, especially Raheem Morris. I mean, Raheem Morris, when he became a head coach of the Bucks, you know, didn't really have any good quarterbacks, and he wound up drafting a guy that he knew from Kent, you know, from Kansas State, in Josh Freeman. And we all know how just, you know, what a carnival ride that was with his career, you know, sort of up and down. And there's nothing that can get you fired quicker than a bad quarterback play. But now, you know, they have options, and the guy's good. I mean, here's the thing. He's a really good player. I know, you know, everyone says, well, he's had a couple ACLs. Yeah, he has, and you know what he did? Every time he got one, he bounced back and came back as strong or stronger than before. You know, are you one hit away? Yes, so was everyone, you know. But I appreciate, you know, that position. So I don't know. It's I can see why Raheem Morris wants protection. I can see why if I'm a young coach, and this has to work, I want to do what the Green Bay Packers did. I want to do what mm-hmm. Kansas City did. You know what I mean?
Well, what this shows me is that Arthur Blank and the organization has told Raheem and everyone that you've got several years.
Yeah.
Like, Like, this is a pick, like, okay, you know, this isn't, hey, we're taking a first round draft pick to start today and help us win a Super Bowl this year.
Right. Because they passed up some players that could help them right now. They did.
This is a long term pick, which shows that
patience.
You know, they're going to be patient. And, you know, and they obviously saw something in Penix that, while others had it, you know, Mel Kiper saying he should have been drafted 25, 26, whatever, you know, down his board. They saw something to take him at 8. So they valued him more than others.
And I'll tell you something. I don't know much about football. I mean, truly, I cover it, right? Like, I didn't play it. I'm not, you know, I've learned a lot by being around coaches like Dungy and Gruden and different guys. But here's what I do know. To win in the NFL at that position, it's great if you're Lamar Jackson and you have this freakish elite speed and can make people miss and do all these crazy things and still have a strong arm and throw the ball. But those guys are unicorns, right? What you have to do at this level is throw guys open, complete a lot of high volume of passes. Like, you know, there's a couple of games last year where Baker Mayfield was under 50%, and it's hard to win that way. And in fact, they did lose a game when he was. But you need to throw guys open. You need accuracy to throw with anticipation, to be able to sit in the pocket, identify the defense, deliver the ball. And then on top of it, it's one thing to throw it to the boundaries, right? A lot of quarterbacks will do that. But can you rip it into a tight window over the middle of the field? How's your deep ball accuracy? How are you with a guy in your face down the field? And I'm telling you, man, if you watch the tape, he's as good a passer as there's been. So I think people had him, you know, undervalued. And I get sort of why, you know, if you're the Falcons or anybody, you go, look, I don't know what's going to happen at that position, but I know I just got one of the best, you know, quarterbacks in college football, and he's going to work hard to become a good pro. And when we turn to him, we might really have something. And that's what coaches need. You get fired without a quarterback. You just do. Look around and see the teams that just don't have them. On the other hand, if you have one, you keep getting chances, you know? Yeah, I get why they did it. I actually like the move. Now, did they pass up a really good edge rusher, the best in the draft? Yes, they did. And that guy probably would have been a huge difference maker for him this year. If everything goes right, Penix he stays on the bench. You know, he never sees the field. And he's not the youngest of players either. So, you know, that's going to be a dynamic. But I wonder just how, you know, Cousins, they said, was caught off guard, not happy. I wonder how unhappy he is, you know, but they guaranteed him $100 million, man. You took the money, you had an Achilles tear. I mean, like, you know, the word you should use is grateful, but I'm sure he understands it, you know, that.
Well, I'm curious if he's that upset, first of all, why the organization didn't say something to him ahead of time.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
I don't mean, you know, 3-4 days ago. I mean, today.
Unless, and this is my only thinking, is that maybe they thought, look, we'd like to do this, but we don't know if the guy's even going to be there. So why stir up the, you know?
Well, but I'm saying anxiety. like today, telling him, like, because you also don't want it to get out,
right? You know, they should have told him before the pick. Yeah, maybe they did.
Yeah, obviously they like Penix to take him out.
Yeah, a lot. But
the other part I wonder is, were there conversations in the free agent process?
I don't know. It's a great question.
That led them to, you know, said that maybe, you know, we're going to draft somebody or, you know, I mean, obviously Kirk Cousins, an older quarterback, you signed him, you've guaranteed $100 million, but.
Well, you know, it's funny because both Raheem was at the combine. I was there and I had seen Raheem sometime. He was giving me a bunch of crap from the audience or whatever, but like he did say, he goes, we're going to look everywhere for a quarterback. We're going to look in the draft. We're going to look at trades. We're going to look, you know, and he ran down the litany of places you could find one. And so it was almost like sort of a, don't worry about us. We got this kind of, we'll find us a quarterback, you know, and we're not going to stop until we do. And I think it's smart. I might be in the minority. I'm a big Michael Penn. I watched him play at Washington. I know he was hurt, but you know what? Last couple of years, he's been great.
One of those moves too. Like, they drafted 8 this year. You hope to never draft 8 again.
No. And if you do,
in a quarterback rich draft, which obviously you saw something in Penix, so take him now. You've got him under a rookie contract for 4 years.
Yeah.
By 4 years from now, Kirk Cousins, you don't expect to be your quarterback anymore.
Yeah.
So, but as long as you have an organization that's patient, this is a good move.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a organization that's not impatient and Kirk Cousins goes out in the first 2 games and struggles, now you're going to have fans and others calling for Penix to start.
Yeah, it's going to be hard.
And you've got to withstand that. Mm-hmm. But if you have a strong, patient organization, you can withstand that. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
But if you've got an organization that's going to start panicking.
Well, that's what you wonder. And you wonder if Cousins, you know, because there'll be pressure from the fan base to play the kid, right? There'll be chants. There'll be, you know, and you wonder how that gets into Cousins' psyche a little bit too. You know, like I don't know. I mean, he's got his $100 million.
A lot of that's going to be how you handle it in the locker room, and training camp. And
he's a good guy, and you know,
yeah. I mean, look, Jordan Love knew he was coming in going to be a backup. Like it was very clear in the organization. It was known. There was no question.
It worked for them twice. Yeah,
yeah. If you go in and it's look, this is Kirk's team. This is his starting job. Michael, right. Your job is to learn.
You're here to learn. Yeah.
You know, if you're clear
about
that, get yourself
ready.
You're clear about that, it can work fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it can. And I don't think Penix is somebody that's going to create waves or anything, but I don't know. It was the shocking pick of the draft, in my opinion. It was the one that you sat up and said, huh? But I know this, man. Raheem Morris wasn't going to catch himself without a good quarterback. There was just no way. I had Josh Freeman. I had Josh McCown. Like, you know. I had all these different guys, but he's got his bases covered now a little bit, so that was fun. Let's see, who else? I mean, there were, I thought, a number of
14
teams.
Straight offensive players.
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, that kind of shows you where the league is headed a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a passing league. It's the quarterback and receivers.
8 offensive tackles.
Yeah, yeah.
Or offensive linemen.
There was a run on him there for a minute, yeah.
Which was a record.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just kind of different. I can't explain it, you know. But we got tomorrow is rounds 2 and 3. And they have two third round picks.
Yep.
Right?
That's tonight. Yep.
Tomorrow, which is actually tonight because we're doing this late.
It's really actually today when we're recording.
Today,
this.
Since we're, yeah. jeez. Saturday is the remaining part of the draft, and that kicks off around noon, I think, on Saturday. So by Sunday at around 7:30, I'll be a happier guy, but still got a lot of long ways to go before this draft is over. But yeah, I kind of like what they did. Graham Barton, first pick. I kind of like what they did there with the guard position and let those guys fight it out, and hopefully you come out of it with a much better protected, you know, Baker Mayfield and a better running game. I mean, that's the hope that Barton can do those things and then add to it, right, with some guards and whatnot and just make the competition better. And, you know, iron sharpens iron, and presumably they'll all get better. So we'll see. It's a long way to go in the draft. It is a long 3 days, and it's just hard to judge it. I know this, that you know, the teams that had to draft pretty high and got quarterbacks, they'll get good grades, you know, in the media, Chicago in particular. But, you know, you really don't know what you have probably for about 2-3 years, to be honest. I mean, guys will play. And
this is almost like the schedule release, you know, win, win, win.
Yeah, well, you just kind of predict it, right?
It becomes like, A, B, A, yeah, A, B. Yeah. I mean, you don't get many D's and F's.
No, everybody likes it. Everybody likes everybody's
everybody
draft.
Everybody got the pick exactly the way they wanted. The draft fell exactly the way they thought it would. This was our guy all along. Yeah, everyone's getting A's or B's.
That's it, man. They're happy with it. Yeah, Anyway, interesting week coming up weekend, and we'll be out and about and here to tell you about it, of course. But in the meantime, check us out on TampaBay.com, Tampa Bay Times. You can keep pace with us there. We got mailbags you can send us anytime at NFL Stroud, at SportsDayTB, or at rstroud at TampaBay.com. So hope you guys have a safe and wonderful weekend. Of course, it's draft weekend, which means in Florida, the weather's going to be spectacular because I'm stuck inside. So you can count on it. This is the weekend to plan stuff. I know my family has without me, but hey, I'm not complaining. Just got this little thing called the draft, but it should be beautiful. So have a great weekend, and we will talk to you guys about the Bucks draft, whatever the Lightning do in this fourth game. And then, of course, the Rays in their series against the Chicago White Sox. Thanks for listening. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.